and welcome to the live webinar, Unlock the Potential of Email Marketing, Learn How to Increase Revenue by 30%, powered by Retail Online Integration and eMarketing and Commerce, and sponsored by Message Systems. Message Systems Solutions power the world's largest, most complex messaging operations. I'm Stephanie Nuzzo, e-learning event manager for Retail Online Integration and EM&C, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console, marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists, and we'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets on the console. And finally, click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on the console do and how you can customize your experience today. Here today to discuss how you can boost your revenue by 30% based on information from a September 2012 study by the Relevancy Group is David Daniels. David is a tenured multi-channel marketer, consultant and researcher, and a leading market analyst voice of the email marketing industry. Prior to leading the Relevancy Group, he served as vice president and principal analyst with Forrester Research. So without further delay, I'm going to turn this event over to David to share his important information about email marketing.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, and thank you all for joining us today. I'm really thrilled to be here and talk about the research and some of the other trends that we're going to be discussing today. We are, as we'll be discussing the impact of sort of Twitter here in just a moment, but we are tweeting along. So if you'd like to tweet about this webinar with us today, hashtag is UnlockEmail, and you can follow Message Systems or myself at Email Daniels or the Relevancy Group. Our hash, our signs, symbols, all of that right there for you. Just a few words about the Relevancy Group. As Stephanie mentioned, we were founded by former Jupiter Research and Forrester Research executives. Basically, we provide market research, and we look at consumer behaviors as well as executive trends and what's going on within the industry. You can find more information about us at our website there, and we offer quite a bit of research for free with registration on our website. Stephanie mentioned I've been around for a while now, and I co-wrote a book, Email Marketing Hour a Day, in addition to my time in the market research space. I came out of the trenches myself, so I was a marketer and a direct marketer at places like Apple, Anthropology, Warehouse. So I speak from experience as well. So I know your pain. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the climate today with consumers. And even if you're a B2B marketer, you have to remember that even as consumers, what we do in the workplace and what we think when we see ads, it's all really the same. We don't sort of put on a different persona when we go into the workplace and behave differently. We're still sort of consumers. So even this is sort of consumer data information, I think it's relevant to business marketers as well. So 50% of us are certainly skipping commercials. So we call this sort of this notion of the shortware society. One of the ideas here is this notion that we're shortening our language because of our hurried and hectic life and sort of this notion of this attention deficit disorder that we all sort of have when it comes to seeing advertisements. You know, Facebook certainly a billion users out there and placing those short status updates, about half of their user base does that every day. You know, Twitter continues to grow. There are about 320 new members every minute that join Twitter. And so these numbers are probably a bit outdated, but it's hundreds of millions of people. And I saw a news alert today that the Pope himself sent his first tweet earlier today. So it's really the usage is certainly beyond and have reached critical mass. And certainly, I think we can all relate to having cell phones and that texting and those things that we do. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about a new vernacular. So I'm working on a study right now, and one of the chapters in it is called When the Letter K Became a Word. And it's about, again, the way that we're so hurried and changing our language, really, to keep up with everything that we need to do in our daily lives. And so this is some data that we did a little over a year ago, and it's, again, classifies these behaviors, these sort of short burst behaviors, in terms of sending a SMS message, updating Facebook statuses, Twitter, all the things that I was just talking about. And what's important to notice here is it's not just the young kids. Certainly it is more pronounced when you look at some of the younger demographics and age groups here. But it's really across the board in terms of the number of people that are using things like Facebook and SMS messages. So again, really that heightened execution that we need to get things done very quickly. That brings us to sort of what's going on with email marketing today. And, you know, email is not being replaced by Twitter and Facebook. It's actually growing stronger. In fact, you know, in most of those social networks, you need an email account to join. You need an email account to do just about anything online. So email is our digital fingerprint. It's not going away. But what is happening is that, again, that mobile revolution that's going on, not just texting or the SMS, but the fact that people are reading more and more of their email on the small screen. And again, you can see this broken up by age, and it's not just all the younger consumers. Overall, we find the number to be about 40% of consumers are looking at their primary personal account multiple times throughout the day on their smartphone. And that does have implications for what we're doing in terms of trying to get that message across to people. We have seen some research done by a display and real-time advertising platform company, Live Intent, and they were able to look at, particularly on the mobile devices, how long people were spending reading those emails. And on average, that was 28 seconds, so about the length of a TV commercial. But consumers, it's important, again, to realize that consumers aren't skipping those ads. They are actually reading that content, if you're relevant, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But there is this impact on email. We have to be much more cautious or mindful, really, of how we format our email, thinking of the image sizes and the copy length and the use of links. It's important that you understand what devices your audience is using, and the mobile sort of landing pages or landing pages on your website that are designed to render really well on mobile devices. Now, some of these things will become less important over time as both the smartphones improve their ability to render various different types of HTML, and certainly the rising popularity of HTML5 and things like that. I don't want to get too technical. But these sort of Band-Aid measures, if you will, I think are sort of going to be with us for 3 to 5 years. But over time, the technology will address a lot of these sort of rendering issues. But it is something to give some thought about. The other thing to think about before we dive into this new study that I'm so excited to share with you is, again, from this older consumer survey that we did, but I've been doing this survey for over a decade, and the results are often the same. The newest tidbit would be that green line there, the people that are actually sharing your ad and marketing content on Facebook. But the two things that remain consistent, they're such truisms, is that consumers delete email that they receive when they feel it's not relevant to them, or if they get too much of that email from that sender. So think about it. They don't even care enough to unsubscribe from that, again, because that takes too much time. It's like a hassle. So it's easier for them just to delete it, right? And if you think of how we're triaging our conversations and our email every day on that smaller screen on those mobile devices, that's exactly what's happening. Last thing I wanted to share with you here before, again, we get into this new really interesting study, is that, you know, we talked about email not going away on the consumer side. It's also not going away on the executive side. So this is from an executive survey that we did in, I think it was April of this year. And we asked marketers what channels are they using that they're deploying to market to their audience. You can see here email is, you know, it's a larger, not necessarily in terms of dollars spent because print is so expensive, but in terms of the deployment, more marketers are using email than, you know, print and catalogs, and I think the reasons for that are pretty self-evident. And, there's a lot of cost differences, efficiency, the time to be able to market quickly. So just email's not going away. So if you're an email marketer out there, and we hope you are, you've got some job security. So what I want to do now is really walk you through some new research that we did, and I'm really excited about it because it's something that I had never done. I've done a lot of evaluations of different types of email service providers and email technology providers, and certainly modeled out how segmentation and things can make marketers more efficient. But what we wanted to look at was really, does the way you deploy the technology, does that have a bearing on your marketing effectiveness? So what we set out to do here is correlate really specific performance measures like average order value and customer lifetime value, conversions and revenue, and all those sort of performance-based metrics, and really look at marketers sort of in a control groups, those that are doing things off-premise and those that are outsourcing. And we've normalized some of the data to take into account some of the differences of different marketers by industry. So let me take you through some of those things just to familiarize you with our methodology before I get into the actual story here. So we conducted the survey in September. There were just over 418 to be specific, marketing and IT executives. We have a very thorough process of screening people and, you know, removing them or including them in the survey based on what their role is and how familiar they are with their marketing, email marketing programs. We do very sort of standard things in the research industry practices, the randomization and skip ordering and stemming logic and all sorts of things to ensure that the surveys have a very bulletproof sort of methodology in the way that we collect the data. We also found that from this that the average corporate revenue was about $69 million, and the mean revenue was much higher, as you can see there. So there's a report that accompanies this sort of survey data that goes into this in much greater detail. But to show you what we found here was that there was sort of a complexion of the survey respondents really balanced and looked like a typical sort of marketing organization. We did have a lot of CEOs or business owners. That 28% is the biggest portion of the pie. But as you'll see in a minute, that also sort of represents the quarter or so of respondents that we might classify as smaller businesses or smaller organizations, not necessarily in the sense of revenue, but by the number of customers that they have under management is the way that we classified the brackets of business. But you can see here, there's a lot of the actual doers and people that were familiar with the program. So what we found really interesting was that the average customer database records was about 3.7 million records. And we also found that marketers were mailing about, and it was pretty much the same between outsource centers and on-premise centers, that they were mailing on average about four times a month. So figure, you know, they're hitting somewhere, again, on average, they're blasting 10 to 12 million pieces of email a month. And I shouldn't say blasting, hopefully. As you'll see, some of them are much more sophisticated than everybody getting the same message. But this is where we started to see some difference also in just the customer database side, and that we found that outsourced centers had more customers under management, and the on-premise centers had a slightly smaller database size, and I'll talk about that in a bit more detail when we start to get into the results. We saw the marketers in this survey mix market to a mix of different businesses, obviously consumers, businesses. But we also really wanted to make sure that we had a representative look at every type of marketer so that we could balance the results. So we did put some quotas on some of the industries that we captured in this. Because it was such a performance-oriented survey, we did want to really focus on people that were within sort of the retail, e-commerce, the travel, sort of technology fields where it was really easy to sort of monetize that, not to mention also financial services. So we really balanced out and tried to make it representative of the larger industries that use email marketing. So with that out of the way, let's get into the fun stuff and really look at what we were looking at in this survey. So, you know, we wanted to first see, you know, is there going to be a shift potentially? Are people going to continue to conduct email the way that they currently are? And we wanted to also capture what is that breakout right now between on-premise and outsourced, and what's the outlook for that sort of shifting. We also wanted to capture the reasons that why people choose one sort of solution over another, and what drives them to make that decision. Then we wanted to look at, you know, how are they different, essentially, these two different types of marketers in terms of their tactics. And one of the most interesting things that we'll find here, I think, in the survey is the impact of tenure on the type of technology that organizations are using to execute their email marketing. And then, again, sort of that difference in value, those metrics that I talked about earlier. And we spent a lot of time looking at how companies were different. So one of the first things that we find here is that, you know, it's not really a black and white world. I mean, there are certainly, I think one of the things that was sort of interesting immediately in the data that when we looked at it here was that the large number of people that are still using homegrown email marketing solutions. And by that, we defined it as people that were using, you know, an SMTP server, something even as we defined it in the survey as things like an Exchange server, but totally homegrown, you know, built their own database, their own sort of execution software, their own template language. So it's a larger portion of the market that we thought of. But if you are on the vendor side or the servicing side, it's good to know that there's still a lot of people out there that do not have a commercial email marketing solution. So there's still lots of opportunity within this marketplace is another way to look at this data. The other thing I thought that was interesting are the people that are using that 29% that are using the combination of both on-premise and outsourced solutions. And as email marketing has become so vital and so important, it's not uncommon that somebody works with an outsourced provider and then has an on-premise solution as a backup or vice versa. I've got an on-premise solution and I have a contract with an ESP to do that, in case I exceed my volume limits or God forbid, something went horribly wrong in one of those. It's just so mission critical. That people need a sort of a fail-safe, I think, within the industry. And we're seeing, obviously, about 29% of marketers embracing that sort of approach. So you can see here, you know, there's not really one slice that dominates, or really I would, again, to sort of use the word critical mass, overwhelms sort of the marketplace. I also want to be clear at this point of the type of solutions that when we mean on-premise, we're not talking about homegrown solutions. From here on forward in the report, we're basically classifying those people that are the on-premise solutions. Those would be packaged commercially available applications and solutions. Whether those are hardware or a combination of hardware and software, they typically are. But they're vendor-oriented solutions that are packaged. So that's what we're talking about when we use the word on-premise. And the outsourced solutions are clearly sort of the SaaS hosted in the cloud EFT type of solutions. So, you know, one of the things that we wanted to capture, and I've been asking this question of marketers for for longer than a decade now, in terms of what do they look for when they look for an email marketing solution, whether it's, you know, outsourced or on-premise. And, you know, these things haven't changed too much over the years. There are a few that always come up at the top. Obviously, the overall cost is something anybody should have as a legitimate concern when they're looking for a solution. Email deliverability. You know, if you can't get your messages delivered and they're not going to be seen, then, you know, if that tree fell in the woods, would somebody hear it? So sort of, you know, the biggest place where you can start to get lift in your top line revenue and bottom line is when you have an improvement in deliverability, because you're just expanding the net. So it's just, you know, this wonderful way to up, you know, your whole revenue collective. So that's always an important feature set. And we always see analytics and sort of reporting up there. But yeah, one of the things we've seen that marketers are definitely more in tune with is the expertise in their industry becoming much more important, I think, as the whole industry matures over time, and as people do in their email marketing roles. They really want to better understand what are their industry peers doing that is, you know, specific to their sector. And that's something that we've seen make a big difference here. In terms of, you know, looking at people in the survey, you know, this is where we start to get into, would you want to change the way? Would you consider utilizing a vendor's on-premise email marketing solution is what we ask them here. And, you know, the market is sort of primed for more on-premise solutions. So, you know, 86% of them saying yes, that they see value to potentially switching to an on-premise solution. Now, when we ask people about the perceived sort of benefits, you know, why would you want to you and your organization experience from using a vendor's on-premise solution? So first we asked, and that's the data that I'm showing you here, we asked about the people that are actually using the on-premise solutions. And you can see here there's, you know, huge numbers of people that are saying, well, I can deploy things, you know, more rapidly. And I have greater effectiveness in sort of my cost and driving my customer value. So there's, I think, an overwhelming number of marketers here that are have noticed that they can improve the targeting relevance of their campaign, that they've lowered sort of their overall total cost of ownership. So, and that sort of stands to reason versus continuing to pay an outsourced provider, you know, money sort of on a monthly basis, sort of like renting versus owning. And that if I buy that application, and it's a capital expense, I can amortize it. There are all sort of those financial benefits. But we didn't really want to focus too much on that one benefit. And you can see here it's about 36% of marketers said, yeah, that was one of the benefits that I received from moving to an on-premise application. But we really want to focus more on the people that said they've improved their customer value, right? And, you know, there were 17%. Sort of down towards the bottom of the slide here, mentions that. And there's sort of some intrinsic sort of value that a lot of marketers find and just, you know, that they feel that they've reduced the need for use of IT resources. So there's additionally things that speak to greater cost efficiencies here. Again, we really wanted to look at sort of the value sort of aspect. So we asked them, again, you know, indicate why your organization operates some or all of its email marketing with a vendor's on-premise solution. And this is, again, where we saw some of those things manifest around costs, right? Lower costs, I don't need to pay an ESP. But control, if you look at some of the other things, so I would characterize this as sort of the title suggests, On-premise marketers feel that they have more control not only over their cost basis, but their production and their integration. They have greater control over the data that they're integrating and the other applications that they're integrating. So, you know, again, marketers that are using on-premise solutions, we're overwhelmingly sort of in agreement on those things. You know, there's 29% that say improved security, and I do some work with the Online Trust Alliance. That is an organization that looks to foster security and good data security practices and build trust with consumers online. And, you know, one of the things I would just mention about data security is that, you know, there are plenty of examples of on-premise solutions and outsourced solutions having breaches. And sometimes they're not necessarily things that happen technically behind the firewall. You know, there was a baseball team in New York, very, very familiar baseball team, and they had a breach last year or 2 years ago, was it now, where somebody took all their season ticket information. And it was a disgruntled employee, and they did it with a thumb drive, and just walked out the door with it. And so, you know, there are lots of different ways for data to be compromised, and that's one of the recommendations in this report is, you know, regardless of how you deploy your technology, be prepared if a breach occurs and have a readiness program, and I'll have some further tips up for you on that in just a moment. But this slide, I want to be careful that people don't misunderstand it, because if you look at the data, it's might look like it's upside down. But one of the things that we want to really look at is, you know, again, not just sophistication and control and data usage between marketers, but, you know, at the end of the day, do they feel like they're enjoying their day? How many challenges are they experiencing throughout the day? And so regardless of, you know, deployment type, people are seeking new methods to optimize their mailing. So I think, you know, that's a really positive thing about here, you know, that we see people trying to do automation on their campaigns and further analysis of their campaign results or list churn. But if you look at the people that are using the on-premise solutions, they cited fewer challenges across the board as compared to the folks that were using an outsourced provider. So, for example, just so I'm clear on that, because sometimes people have been confused by this chart. So, for example, that fourth item down, analyzing campaign results, you'll see that 25% of outsourced providers said that they were challenged by this, but only 16% of people using vendors' on-premise solutions were recognizing that as a challenge. And so, you know, there are pretty much, it's a consistent pattern across the board, with the exception of attribution, I think, was the one that we found that there was marketers that were working with outsourced solutions were doing a bit more attribution. And I think that's one of the things is because they have more data sources. It's a solution that's not integrated. They're working with disparate systems. So I think, you know, there was a greater need for people to do that when you're working with an outsourced solution. But we wanted to get into those tactics, right? And again, we segmented this audience and we asked people, tell us about the things that you're doing. And so, we're just seeing that on-premise marketers are doing more with their marketing programs than vendors that outsource this technology to an ESP, for example. So they're aware of the value of their email customers. I think, you know, not to indict our whole industry, but if this is something that you don't know right now on this webinar about your own email program, what is the value of your email subscriber, it should be the first piece of homework that you do later today or this week. There is a resource on the website for our book, which is Email Marketing an Hour a Day, something that was developed with the Email Experience Council. And it's somewhat of a calculator to help you figure out what that value is. But I would think, given the maturity of the email marketing industry, regardless of on-premise or outsourced, that number should be far higher. Because that's your currency. That's how you're going to be able to make these changes to your program, when you're able to show your peers and other people within your organization just how profitable the email program is. So think of that number as really your currency to win more budget and more support within your organization. But again, here, the trend is consistent with some of the other data that we've seen so far in this report, in that those that are using an on-premise solution are just doing more with their programs. They're integrating it more with their social media. They're doing more behavioral-based targeting or segmentation in general. So doing more advanced things, and I know from previous studies, the more you do these types of things, segmentation and whatnot, the greater results that you will have. So the other thing that we see here is leveraging more disparate data. And this is sort of where the attribution point is made again, that you can see here. Because, again, we see the trend that, for the most part, with the exception of demographic and psychographic sort of data, those that are using on-premise are harnessing more data. So they know more things about their customers, and they're using that more to centralize them for purposes of segmentation, or just customer value scoring, any type of sort of recency, frequency, or monetary type of analysis, as well as behavioral data. And look at the stark difference with mobile marketing data, between these two folks, or these two groups, I should say. Again, this sort of talks to that often, an on-premise messaging solution can work with other messaging channels integrated more tightly, so you have that data more readily available. But again, no surprise here. I think that the response attribution data a little bit more pronounced on the ESP side, because that's one of the things you have to do. You've got to be able to pull all that data in together when you're using something that's in the cloud. So one of the things that I thought was really interesting when we dug into the research was, this notion of tenure. And we wanted to see how different that was over time. So the sort of the pattern that we see is that, as organizations launch their email marketing efforts, the tendency is to first outsource the program to an external ESP. And this data shows this trend, however, interestingly, as the tenure of the marketing program increases, so the length of time it's been in existence, organizations tend to start to bring these programs in-house and use on-premise email marketing technology. So the data, it sort of indicates, you can see the breaking point might be somewhere around that fourth or fifth year of working with an outsourced solution that the marketing group begins to mature and move it on-premise. This is we did some research a couple of years ago just looking at the payback time of an on-premise solution, and it's typically 3 to 4 years. So it's compared to an outsourced ESP solutions that have a more of a 4 or 5 year period. So I think that might have some bearing on why there is this sort of critical mass when people start to change and bring it in, because they realize after 4 years or so without an outsourced solution, I probably could have spent and I've matured my practices. I needed more help and handholding when I first started, but now I realize it could possibly be not only more cost efficient, but as we'll show you here in these next several slides, more effective to do this in an on-premise manner. So some really interesting things here in terms of the median value. When we start looking at, again, these two different distinct groups of marketers. So in addition to the sort of the on-premise marketers being more advanced and using more data, they're also contributing more revenue from their programs. And we looked at that revenue contribution in a couple of different ways, and I'll take you through that. And then we're going to be wrapping up soon and be able to take some questions. So start to think of those. But look at this. We found that Now, the on-premise senders report a median lifetime customer value of $6,750 as compared to the outsource senders that report the same median lifetime customer value to be $5,250. So a big, difference there. But what's really interesting, again, is when you compare this, and although the graphic doesn't illustrate it, but, the on-premise marketers have a smaller customer database than outsourced marketers. I sort of alluded or mentioned that at the top of the presentation. But outsourced senders have on average 4.2 million customer records. The on-premise sender group that we looked at here have an average of 3.9 million customer records. So that means that they're getting more value out of those customer relationships. Again, in our hypothesis here is that it's because they're doing more with their customer data than people that are outsourcing. And that's probably the difference, that they're really just getting more value out of a smaller set of customers. The other thing that we wanted to look at, though, was the overall sort of revenue contribution to the organization, something that most marketing organizations track, email marketing organizations. So we asked about the overall corporate revenue percentage. What percentage of that came does email marketing represent of your overall revenue? And so on-premise marketers, again, we found, just a difference right off the bat. It's not huge, but it is a difference. Email marketing initiatives for the on-premise senders here, as you can see, it's 8.3% compared to the outsourced senders of 7.7%. And we found that while those outsourced senders have that slightly larger customer database, they were both sending about the same amount of mail every month, approximately 8.3 million pieces. I think I misspoke earlier when I said about 10 to 12. That's if you did the math of the customer database against the frequency. This was another question where we asked them specifically how much email they sent. And that average is 8.3, and between both million pieces of email a month. And that number was the same. So, again, we see on the same email volume with a smaller customer database, the on-premise senders are contributing more revenue from their email programs than their outsourced peers. So one of the most interesting things that we saw was that, and I think this is where we come down to sort of the where we got the title for the webinar from, was, driving that 30% higher monthly revenue. And when we looked at the delivery, open rate, click rate, conversion rates between the different types of senders, there was a noticeable difference in the average delivery rate. So outsourced senders were reporting that, 45%, significantly lower than typical rates published by vendors, but we found them to be accurate. And you can see that difference, even on-premise senders, it's not the 90s that you'll often hear, but when organizations really start to measure deliverability, and it's one of those things that can be measured in different ways. Do you include hard bounces? Well, yes, we think you should, but others don't. So there's a lot of data manipulation we find within the industry about that metric. But what we looked at was, those outsourced senders reporting that monthly difference in delivery rate and comparing those other metrics. And there were slight differences in open clicks and conversions, but they were minimal in most cases, within 1% of one another. So then we had captured the average order value for each group, and we found that the on-premise marketers reported a median AOV of $327, and the outsourced marketers an average of $304. And so what we wanted to do was normalize it. So we created this model here, and that's where the 504, and this would be thousands of 504, $100,000 a month would be what outsourced senders are contributing on a monthly basis from their programs in terms of revenue, and the on-premise senders, it's a 30% lift. So it's, as you can see here, 605. $100,000. So what we did in the sort of the footnote here on the slide explains it a little bit. We wanted to really normalize. So we even used the same average order value, but we used the same or the exact performance metrics, the delivery, open, click, all of those things. So we even cut their average AOV number, average order value number, in half. And we applied that to that same 8.3 million monthly send size that we found most marketers were doing. And you can see really here how the math works out, that the on-premise senders are just generating more revenue. So I just want to summarize real quickly some of the things that we talked about. You know, regardless of how you deploy your email technology, there are some things that are just known truisms within marketing, email marketing, and leveraging data and using audience segmentation. And I think that's, if you think about how you shop with people in the offline world, for example, if you owned a clothing store, you had a regular customer that came in, you know, every season or every month and bought things from you, you have a relationship with that person. You would treat them differently. Maybe you even know their sizes, right? Versus, you know, that person walks into your store for the first time, you're going to have a whole different set of questions for them, and it's going to be a totally different dialogue. So email marketing is, you know, is no different, right? And it's even better because we know how people behave. So we can have different conversations and present different offers to them. As I mentioned earlier, incorporating that data security breach plan, very important. Institutionalized testing, right? Testing failure has to be an option within email marketing. Using frequency caps so you're not burning out your list, right? But you're also testing, you know, what about this subject line or that subject line? And leveraging dynamic content, you know, the ability now and we talk about this in a little bit more detail in the research paper, but to use, you know, real-time content insertion. So that you're reacting to some of the behavioral data on the fly. And there are a number of solutions that exist in the marketplace to allow you to do that, regardless, again, if you're doing it, you know, on-premise or outsourced. But you know, those are some of the summary best practices. So I thank you for your attention. Here's my contact information, and certainly I'm at Email Daniels on Twitter, and we'll be taking some questions here. But if you if we don't get to you, we can certainly like follow up with you later. But I want to quickly turn this over to John Pinson and have a word from our sponsor, Message Systems, today, who was so nice enough to sponsor the webinar. So John, over to you.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the introduction. Good afternoon, everybody, or good morning if you're on the West Coast. I'm John Pinson, Senior Manager of Content Marketing here at Message Systems. And before we dive into the Q&A, we just wanted to give you a brief background on Message Systems and discuss why we sponsor today's webinar. First, thanks so much again to David and the Relevancy Group. We're really excited about the research they're doing on the advantages of on-premise email deployment. We've long advocated for the on-premise approach here at Message Systems, but there hasn't been a lot of independent research on the subject to document its advantages. So we're happy to see that changing. I'm going to go to the next slide here. Hang on for a minute. Okay. For those who don't know us, Message Systems is the leading provider of on-premise email solutions to the enterprise. Our software powers many of the world's largest, most complex messaging operations. If you shopped online today or got an email through a social network, chances are those messages came to you via Message System software. Our solutions are ideal for email marketing, yes, but they're also used for business process communications, such as text-based transactional alerts and relationship notices. This is why you'll often see Message Systems in place when a company needs to orchestrate real-time, two-way customer interactions through multiple channels, or when a company needs to deliver a seamless brand experience through integrated marketing, service, and transactional messaging. Okay. To understand the kind of companies we work with, here's a small sample of our client base. You'll see that we've been widely adopted by social networks, online retailers, publishers, media firms, and other kinds of online companies. But we're also widely used by brands in more conventional sectors, like travel and hospitality. Two of the three largest financial services firms in the U.S. use our software today, and three of the four largest healthcare organizations. As I said earlier, If you bought something online today, like booked a flight, for instance, chances are you got a response email that was generated through our software. A good example of this would be U.S. Airways. They use message systems to make sure customer tickets and transaction receipts get to thousands of passengers every day. Another example would be Xing, X-I-N-G, which is Europe's leading professional network, or Kaixin 001, a social network based in China. Taken together, the traffic flowing through the world's social media sites that originates on message system software is somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 billion messages per day. Finally, I wanted to point out Agora, another client of ours. They're a digital publishing firm based in Baltimore. Agora needs to get investment reports and financial news to subscribers within very narrow time windows, like before the trading day begins on Wall Street. And that's exactly what message systems allows them to do. And this last point speaks directly to David's finding that on-premise solutions help senders to deploy their mailings faster and use customer data more effectively. In situations where campaigns or content are time-sensitive, speed and reliability are critical, and this is where message systems provides a real advantage. Our technology helps you boost engagement, drive down costs, increase revenue, and build closer relationships. So that's all I have for you today. Thank you all very much for attending. I hope you enjoyed the webinar as much as I did. And thanks again to David for his great presentation. Stephanie, I believe we're ready to take a few questions now. You going to take it from here?
Yep, we sure are. We have a couple questions for David. I'm going to start with this first one. When a company moved from an ESP to on-premise, was monthly cost email volume the main reason or the sophistication of their programs or a combination of both?
It was really a combination of both. The study, I mean, both were cited. More people cited the monthly cost than the sophistication. But the difference was about 5% between those answers. So it was really a combination of both. And I think, you know, if you're going to do, again, if you want to do more sophisticated things with your email marketing program, dynamic content is going to require more content. Segmentation is going to require more data analysts, right? So anytime you're slicing up that mailing from one, it used to be one, you're going to need more hands. And so I think that sophistication is true. Whether, again, you're doing that in an on-premise or an outsourced fashion, you're going to need more people. And I guess then the question becomes, do you want to hire those people and maintain them, you know, that sort of aspect in-house, or are you going to outsource that, whether that's to an agency or an outsourced partner? So hopefully that answers that question.
Okay, great. We have another question. Is there some kind of metric that marketers can use to determine if they might be a good candidate to consider switching to an on-premise solution, a certain number of mailings per month, size of database, that kind of thing?
Yeah. That's a great question. I've done some research earlier this year, I guess it was, yeah. It was a report that we published in, I think it was June or so. Anyway, sure, it's up on our website. But we did look at that in that it wasn't a really detailed exploration, but we did find that it was around 6 million messages a month. Now, of course, you know, as CPM prices decrease, as, you know, volume goes up, and, you know, CPM volumes sort of or prices in the ESP side of the industry, you know, continue to slide. So, you know, it might not be, you know, that number might not be true for every program, but we found it to be about 6 million messages a month. And at that volume, and what we looked at there was sort of what was the monthly spend versus operating on premise, and we looked at all sorts of variables in terms of, you know, even power consumption and running your own data center and those additional headcount costs. So we put that into the model, and then we sort of blended it up, but took into account that, again, that sort of amortization when you have a capital expense that could be spread out over a number of years if you subscribe to that type of accounting. So, you know, there is a volume thing, but I think it's also, are you ready to do it? I think you have to look inward, and is there enough support within the organization, labor and headcount and those types of things to do it? Well, volume is a key thing. I think, you know, some of the clients that John mentioned, I mean, they're large enough to be ISPs themselves, you know, in the social network, certainly the number of emails that they're sending. So
that's true.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Hello, John, did you have a thought on that?
You know, I'm not sure if you know Mike Hillier. David, he's one of he's our chief solution engineer here at Message Systems. And I know that Mike wrote a blog post about this about a year and a half ago, and it's up on our website. I'm trying to find it right now. And I think his numbers sounded pretty close to what yours do. Same kind of ballpark, you know, like if your CPMs are here and your sending volumes are here, it's time to start thinking about bringing it in-house, you know, or at least, you know, considering your options in that area because, yeah.
Yep.
And I'll see if we can track that down and maybe distribute it around to the attendees later if anybody else is interested in that.
Great.
Thank you. David, can you please define on-premise email marketing a bit more and highlight the main difference between what on-premise is and outsourced?
Sure. So, and yeah, I did sort of I mentioned this or tried to be clear on it at the top, but maybe I was speaking too fast. So the, you know, the outsourced senders, and when we looked at it in this report, were people that would classify themselves as an email service provider in today's vernacular. So they're doing software as a service in the cloud. So you're logging into a solution that you don't host or maintain. You're paying a vendor to do all of that for you in their data centers. And you're sort of, working with them. Sometimes that outsourced solution can involve, you pitching everything over the fence. We didn't make a distinction in the survey group. You'll notice at the beginning of the survey with the survey audience, there was a complexion of people that were, also working with agencies, right? So we didn't make the distinction of I'm working outsourced or on-premise, and I'm doing all the work myself on a self-service basis or what's referred to as full service, where I'm sort of pitching everything over the fence. We look at really what was the distinction of the technology, and that's where we found those differences. So the on-premise, obviously, those are packaged solutions from vendors that deploy within your data center, and they're maintained by the vendor in the sense that there's going to be updates and maintenance and things like that might occur, but they're really being maintained by your organization, and so they rely on your data center. So it's sort of where the technology lives is the biggest distinction.
Great. Thank you for the clarification. We have somebody says they're participating from Europe, and they're interested in whether or not the stats displayed at the start of the presentation are the same or similar. This person says, my experience is that mobile marketing SMS usage is more widely used, but email techniques less numerically and sophisticated.
Definitely. That's been my experience, too. So, those of you in Europe or overseas, certainly in Asia Pac, take some of that advice or that was a bit more U.S. centric. Take it with a grain of salt. In that, there's a lot of SMS that goes on as a much more sophisticated marketing channel in Europe broadly. I mean, the whole sort of direct marketing is very different over there. You know, in Germany, the post and catalog consumption and ordering through the mail is still very prevalent in that society. There are definitely cultural differences, and certainly the way that the cell networks emerged, and sort of the sophistication. Not to get all geeky and technical, but we used to cover this, you know, when it was all happening back in the day at Jupiter, and 3G was there years, and 4G was there years before we sort of had the infrastructure to do it here in the United States. So the adoption was on the mobile marketing side, and the usage of consumers was certainly leaps and bounds above what it is even here today in terms of mobile marketing. So yeah, that would be true. I agree with that.
Okay. We have another question. You mentioned earlier that there were some things that marketers could do in case of a data breach so they could be ready. Can you highlight some of those things?
Sure can. First is, I mean, you've got to have a team. You've got to have a playbook. So people should have roles when it happens. And working with your IT organization and the sort of business side, sort of a task force. And, you know, you should be conducting, you know, there's basic things like conducting audit flows of your data across not only your organization but your vendors and sort of how you're interacting with data that might be flowing from outside of your organization. But what are you going to tell customers? What are you going to tell partners? You know, having sort of all of these things, and there's dozens of them, to map out. And then when you have those things mapped out, you come in over a weekend and you run a drill, and you should be doing that, you know, potentially, depending on the organization, a couple times a year. But, you know, who calls who? What would happen if the guy that's supposed to be in charge of the communication plan is on vacation or honeymoon or something and unavailable? So what's the number two? So, you know, it is really something to take that seriously, because it's not one of those things that when it happens, you don't want to be, you know, oh, now what do we do? How do we figure this out? And, you know, over the last, you know, year, I know the place to check, actually, I think, according to the government, something like 558 breaches, 126 million records. These are 2011 numbers I just came across. Anyway, the numbers are massive in terms of the dollar impact on U.S. businesses. It's in the billions of dollars. So it's not something to take lightly. I believe Message Systems also works with, I know they do, with the Online Trust Alliance. You guys are members. Mm-hmm. And yeah, right? And so there's actually a 2002 Data Protection Breach Readiness Guide that you can download there for free. I think their website is otalliance.org. We could just search up the Online Trust Alliance.
I'm going to search it for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's I know it's right on their website, because it's something that we want all members or even potential members to be aware of. So, and it was built by an industry coalition of everybody, all the stakeholders, a lot of technology vendors and businesses put their input into this plan. So that's that. I mean, it's not the happiest of topics, but it is a reality, unfortunately.
And we're going to have time for probably one more question, and this one's probably a good one to end with. What surprised you most by your findings?
No, I think that there was actually a difference in sophistication, that the numbers, you know, you do this research and you never know how it's going to come out, and it's going to be interesting sort of to us either way if we prove it or disprove it, that one might be, you know, more advanced than a different set of marketers, or if there is just no truism to any of it at all, right? Any of those findings are going to be interesting. But I think that the thing that there was such a stark difference in the sophistication and the use of data, because it's not to say some of the outsource providers do not have integration plans and, you know, in technology to integrate your data in the cloud. But the fact that, you know, the on-premise people are just using so much more data and segmentation, which drove those sort of monetary differences that we saw. So I think that was the most surprising thing, just the use and integration of data. But I hope that answers all your questions. And Stephanie, of course, will be following up if people had other questions that we were unable to get to. But I do thank you all for joining us today.
Great. Thank you, David, so much, and John as well.
Thanks.
You may get some follow-up from Message Systems. That's great. It looks like we're just about out of time for today. So on behalf of Message Systems, Retail Online Integration, and EM&C, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events. Also, if you would, please take a moment to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next. We would be grateful if you would do that. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring you in the future. So we hope to see you at the next ROI EM&C webinar. Have a good day.